You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are live from Austin, Texas. Back to be good on a Sunday night, man. Good to be back, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we do our Formula One pre and post race in Sunday mornings, and then we put those back out on Sunday night when we're doing Formula One on the weekends. But
there you go.
Yeah, and they're going to get even earlier in the next few weeks, so that ought to be interesting. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This is John Massengill. That is Les Kaiser with the deep Texan voice. And Jonathan Green is not here. He is at Sebring for the Formula 3, Formula 4 this weekend.
Oh, no! Oh, mayhem!
There's mayhem wherever he goes.
Yeah, and he was thinking about maybe trying to call in, but I don't think he's going to make it. The timing is just not going to work out. I think they're still traveling and stuff. But let me run down what we got on the show, because Jonathan did an interview a couple of days ago, it was Friday. He did an interview with an FIA Formula 3 driver, Liam Lawson. And if you watch and listen to the show, then you know that name because
this kid is awesome.
Yeah, he's a great driver. Well, he's an FIA Formula 3, so he's obviously a great driver.
Not too shabby.
And I think he's, what, 19?
He is definitely
young. Maybe younger than that, actually.
I want to say I think he was 17 when we spoke to him some time back.
Yeah, so, I've got in my notes somewhere, I've got his age. Well, that we have an interview we did with him, and you want to hear this interview because, as you recall, there was a Formula 3 accident in at Monza last weekend, and he was right underneath that accident, shall I say, an unbelievable viewpoint that he ended up with that crash. And, of course,
I'm gonna say this. Think Top Gun.
Yeah.
And think international relationships.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you know that movie and what the scene
that little scene.
Yeah. So yeah, that's and it also really fascinating interview because, you know, you got somebody coming up through, you know, he started the year off winning the Macau Grand Prix and then he's in multiple series right now, but so we got an interview with him and we'll have that later in the show. But in today's show, we're gonna talk about in Formula One. We're gonna talk about the black flags. I mean, that's
kind of kill roaches. We're talking on the track. This black and white flag was something we haven't seen much. We haven't seen
right.
So it's an interesting addition.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk a lot about MotoGP. It was a great race today. Marquez moving up in the record books. Man, it's crazy to think about. You know, we'd started watching him right here in Austin, won his first premier class race here. So
it is. And on the opposite side of that coin, I feel like Rossi is sliding backwards. What are we going to do for our old man buddy here?
Look, what did he finish fourth today?
But he's still not as fast as all the other Yamahas is the issue.
Well,
it's like
it's
if they
true.
Didn't have their own issues, he was lagging quite a bit behind fellow brand mates.
Give the old man a break. Give the old man a break.
Dude, I'm trying to give him every break I can to shove across the line.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about IMSA, too. I watched quite a bit of IMSA this weekend, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And, you know, IndyCar coming up with their season finale coming up. But I want to talk Formula One first. And you know what? Before we go into the black and white flags, I just want to – this is, from last weekend, the other big story. We've been saying it. I've been saying it. For I don't know how many races, is Vettel toast? I know he's no longer the number one driver. I think the world knows he's no longer the number one driver at Ferrari. But what do you think about what's going on with Vettel? And I know that there's some, I have some notes from some other race drivers, including some ex-Formula One drivers who will weigh in on that. But what do you think about Vettel, where he's at right now?
You know, Vettel's cage got rattled when Charles joined the area, and honestly, I think we saw cracks in the armor when Leclerc pulled through and did some phenomenal qualifying, finished races, won races, etc. I don't think Vettel was paying enough attention to Charles Leclerc before he joined the team to see what this kid is capable of. And now he's in premium equipment at Ferrari, and I think that is what has got Seb rattled.
You know, you say Seb started making mistakes this year. He started making mistakes last year.
Yeah, he did last year.
And I saw a stat. I didn't grab it, but it was something like he's made mistakes. What are we at? 15 races, 14 races. He's made mistakes at like more than half the races. So, I mean, he's had a lot of trouble. And watching him get so flustered that he pulled back onto the track and right after he spun off,
I mean,
that was a major mistake.
I feel like that was a panic or a temper tantrum, one or the other.
I think it's a panic.
And I think that was it in his situation. Pulled out, he got called on it, and rightfully so. That could be a really dangerous situation.
Yeah.
I mean, for one, he could have been T-boned, or he could have created another big situation with somebody else.
Yeah, what was the penalty was...
Honestly, that's a rookie mistake,
yeah.
And he did it.
Yeah, that's exactly what you'd expect of a rookie. And, you know, when you see him interviewed, he still has that smile. He seems just as self-confident as ever and doesn't seem flustered. And I don't know, maybe I've seen a little bit in some of the post-race interviews, but he seems just as confident as ever. But on track, you see those mistakes. And, I mean, there's people saying now, is he gonna make it through the year? I'm like, I don't think that's going to be an issue.
I think he'll be fine through the year, but he better get back on his horse, right?
Well, you're the one that called Gasly, you know, I think on the second race of the season.
Yep.
So you are the guru. I'm going to default to you.
I'm going to say Seb better really be thinking about next season and, you know, take it to heart over the next couple of races. And he better have something to show that he deserves a Ferrari seat. Otherwise, I could see him going to an underling team.
That's a good point. He had better show he deserves a Ferrari seat. That's a great way to put that.
Who knows? You know, who else would we look at for the Ferrari seats?
Now, there's,
I mean, the obvious. We're always talking Haas, but I don't think they're in the budget.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
I think it'd be a mistake for him to go there.
Well, that is going to be really interesting to watch. I want to read a little bit about what Nico Rosberg said. This is actually on Formula1.com. I saw this article.
Armchair quarterback. Here we go.
Well, you know, he the headline is "Don't write off Vettel yet," says Rosberg. But he comes right out and says to him, you know, he says he was very surprised. He said, especially at the off track that we were just talking about, you know, he says Vettel is unexplainable for me. He said, I can't explain it. He said, he's a four-time champion. He's one of the best guys out there. And to make a mistake like that on your own, just spinning the car and then in a corner, that's so strange. And then he said, he goes on to say, this moment must be so dark for him, Rosberg says. His teammate just became an absolute Ferrari legend and has taken the number one status on the team probably from him. So,
yep.
You know, I think he agrees with that. But he does say we shouldn't write him off because he can come back very quick, but it's not an easy one. So he said, having been outscored by 50 points to 13 by Leclerc in the last two races, Vettel has now slipped to fifth in the driver standings. 115 off Lewis Hamilton, you know, which we knew that, but
hey, and this info we're talking about is on Formula1.com.
Yeah.
So if you really want to see more in depth, you're right. What do we do there? I mean, Canada was a fiasco for him, all these things. I don't know. I'm concerned. I like speaking to him in the paddock, and he's always pleasant unless he's had a really bad day. So who knows what it's going to be like when he gets here in a few more weeks.
But don't you, when you went to a couple of Grand Prix already so far this year, and did he, you know, what I was saying about he still looks supremely confident.
He does, except immediately after qualifying in Monaco, he had this frustration about him. But when they went to broadcast, he was good. I was watching some of the ongoings of that matter, but it was interesting.
I mean, all right,
I'm still waiting. I want to see him recollect himself and pull through. You know, Ferrari's not going to get up there to rival for the, you know, manufacturer's front end, the championship. But I want to see Vettel get recollected, get his wits about him. He and Clerc could be a fantastic duo together if he can get his act back together.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to talk about black and white flags after Monza because, you know, that was really the biggest story. That and Vettel, what we just talked about, were the biggest story. How when Hamilton was chasing down Leclerc and they brought out the black and white flag, which we've just virtually haven't seen, and basically saying, that's a warning, you do that again, and we're going to penalize you. Unsportsmanlike conduct, I've heard
it
referred to.
You know, it's the yellow card in soccer, things like that. You know, you're pushing the limits, you're not in the spirit of the sport, whatever it is. And so, which I find kind of interesting because, yes, Charles was certainly pushing the limits in the spirit of the sport, but I feel like... why did they finally pull this out on this situation when we've seen things with Max? We've seen things with some of the other drivers out there. What was so different about this?
Well, I think that, and another article that Will Buxton put out on F1.com, and that one has the most in-depth about this. But his point to what you just said is that every incident is unique, and I think that the underlying reason is that they want to see more racing. They want to see, you know, more hard racing is the way they've described it. More hard racing, and they want to allow a little more. So, but let's go back to the actual incident. When I saw it, I didn't immediately. In fact, in our post-race show, you know, we go straight off the race and go on the air. And, you know, we didn't make a whole lot of, we didn't make a big deal out of that. We brought it up, but we didn't make a big deal out of that because I didn't think it was overly blatant. You know, it was definitely hard racing, but I don't know. Maybe I was just so excited that we had such a great hard racing battle without, you know, a great race without rain or anything else.
Now I am glad that they're using the black and white flag, and somebody may ask why. Well, because now instead of getting that black flag ticket, that 10-second penalty, you're warned, hey, that was a little more than we are willing to accept. So you get that chance to back off without jeopardizing your race over that and immediately getting a 10-second slap out of this.
Yeah, well, we, you know, none of us want to see a bunch of penalties. We don't want to see unfair racing either.
Right.
You know, I think if I had to choose, I'd lean more towards a little harder racing and maybe let them race a little harder than
see the black and white a little more often than the penalties.
See the black and white more. So that's where I think maybe that's where they're coming down on this. So we'll see if that's, you know, let's see if that's where this goes. But I think it is going to be very interesting. I'm glad that it's an issue rather, you know, a few weeks ago or a few couple of months ago now, we were having a lot different discussions about Formula One. The racing's not so great. Well, now we're having these discussions, which is so much better in my mind. So,
And, you know, that black and white flag has always been there. It just wasn't being used. Somebody mentioned, oh, what's this new black and white flag? Well, it's not new, folks. It's been there. It just kind of fell out of use. They quit using it and they went straight to a penalty. Which, like I said, I'd really see some hard racing and a little warning, as opposed to a penalty, straight to a penalty.
All right, we got to take a break. Before we do, there's a couple comments on Facebook. We're live on Facebook and Twitter, and I think that's it right now. Yeah, Facebook and Twitter. And Kevin Kelly says Vettel will be back. That's his opinion on that one. So,
is he in the new Terminator movie?
Michael Urquhart says, "Love the show." Thanks, Michael. But yeah, let's go ahead and take a break. But if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Love to have your calls back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like, the power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Have you heard this song, Les?
No, and I'm not sure I'm enjoying it now.
You're going to enjoy it. This is going to be stuck in your ear now, and your brain. It's going to be drilling into your brain.
You realize how many voices I already have in my brain?
This song is the Super Max Verstappen song, and I heard it listening to... Actually, I was watching a YouTube video that Lando Norris put out. And Lando, and all of a sudden, he was streaming, right? He was streaming on... he was streaming, I think it was iRacing, but anyway, so he's streaming his gaming, which is really cool. I mean, his racing, so it was really cool. But then Max joined him, so they were both talking. And then, so, you know how when you're, if you ever watch kids' game, they can just bring up a YouTube video or whatever and just bring it into the feed and just play the music. And Max had not heard it, I don't think. And Lando, anyway.
Isn't that Max's voice?
I don't know.
But, thrown into it.
But apparently it's these old guys that made this video. I think they're called the Pit Shop Boys or something like that.
Nice.
Anyway.
Well, thanks.
The real story behind that is the fact that all these guys are now streaming their, not say all of them, there are some F1 drivers, including Max and Lando, that are streaming some of their racing. Which is really cool to see because
the e-racing stuff, right?
Yeah, online. Sorry, they're gaming racing,
like e-sports.
Yep,
yeah.
I think it
we've got a secret about that. Are we going to divulge it?
We are going to divulge that. We talked about it last week. By the way, that was on Twitch. That was then on YouTube. So if you search, in fact, I tweeted it on Saturday. So, but yeah, we are going to have our own Formula One event this year. We've had a few over the years, but we're going to have our own. And we're going to have an esports event, and we are going to get some race drivers to come into Austin that are going to be here for sure. Some of the F4 drivers that from the US F4 series, and they're going to join us. And most likely, this is going to be at a new esports lounge in downtown Austin called Valhalla, brand new, opened about a month ago. And this place has got
I'm excited for this.
Yeah, in the back they've got. If you know anything about gaming, if PCs and stuff. They've got some really incredible rigs provided by Alienware.
Yeah.
I mean, top of the line.
That's the high-end Dell product.
Owned by Dell, but yeah, really high-end gaming. You know, the best video cards, really like high refresh rate monitors,
right?
All the good hardware. And we're going to try to get either some steering wheels or some brake pedals or something to go with that. But we're going to have that probably on Wednesday the 30th. But just stay tuned and watch our social.
Yeah, so if you're coming to Austin for USGP, get here at least Wednesday afternoon so you can catch this.
Abso-fraggin-lutely.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun. But, hey, let's talk a little MotoGP.
We had the
race today, and, I mean, it was a great race because it's MotoGP. You know, you... I haven't been following MotoGP because of all the F1 work we do as much this year as I normally would.
Right.
But, man, it was, you know, the typical MotoGP race. And, of course, came down to the last lap. And, in fact, it was turn one when Marquez, I believe his first lead of the race, and if I'm not mistaken, but it was a great race all the way through with Fabio Quartararo leading ahead of Marquez for almost the whole race.
Yeah, yeah, it was fantastic racing all through. You know, absent were some of the names that we often cheer for, Rossi. Just his Yamaha was just not up there pulling with the other guys. I struggle. I want this guy to get number 10 for his championship. And you know, be able to go out and go do something else, you know, on a win streak. And then, you know, the Ducatis struggled with
traction. Yeah, they did today, didn't they?
All day. And apparently they've been struggling all weekend. Was really a tough situation for those to go through. But, you know, speaking of Rossi, there was something really cool. So he got to ride one of his GP bikes, you know, realize this is right by his hometown.
Yeah.
Near the ranch, near all this kind of stuff. He got to ride one of his other GP bikes from his ranch through town, through the a parade that they did for him approaching all the way to the track. So I was just loving that. Huh. But very cool with that. It was all, you know, that track is a narrow, has a narrow line to it, race line.
Misano, yeah.
And so it's a really, really a tough track for these folks. The surface is different, thus Ducati was having some traction issues. Other teams were able to battle with it too, and you know, delivered better than Ducati. But this track is known for a narrow, tight line and lots of aggressive. It takes a lot of aggressive moves to get there.
Well, I saw that, you know, so it was talking about the last lap. So Quartararo led for a good bit of the, you know, maybe not the very beginning of the race, but most of the latter part of the race, he led. And Marquez was behind him the whole time, pressuring him the whole time.
Jaws shark music.
Yeah, the whole time. And then, of course, turn one of the last lap, Marquez goes late in the brakes and goes ahead. And then about three turns later, Quartararo took it back.
Yep.
And then shortly thereafter, like one or two turns later, Marquez took it back again and was able to hold on. And then I think it was turn 14 of 16, Quartararo tried to dive in and take it, almost lost it, almost crashed, and then the race was done there. Marquez won. But really, it was a pretty historic win because Marquez went fourth all time. He's now 77 victories, and you know he was fifth or sixth going into the year, and now he's up to fourth. And so ahead of him is Angel Nieto at 90 wins. Valentino Rossi is second all-time with 115 wins. And then Agostini, of course, first with 122 wins. But, okay, I'm just looking at the years that everybody took to do that. So Rossi is 21 years to get his 115. Marquez, 9 years to get his 77. I mean, the math looks like, and Marquez just looks like he's not going to go anywhere off of his championship looking, you know, form right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the span I'm watching is, Valentino with 115 to Rossi 77.
Yeah.
That is a long ways apart.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm still holding out for our buddy there, Valentino, to get in there.
Well, but I know you watched the whole race today. What'd you think?
I liked it. You know, this weekend, though, there were several offs that were really getting people. I mean, during the practices, I mean, Marquez went down. Iannone got hurt over the weekend, didn't get to race. Zarco crashed during morning warm-up and limped away. I mean, it was all this different stuff going on. Obviously, this is a tough track, and which made it enjoyable. I hated to see anybody limping off and not, you know, Iannone getting off in pain. But I enjoy seeing it because I think it just really emphasized how much of a superstar rider these guys are, even the last ones.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but as usual, fantastic racing to watch. And, you know, on non-F1 weekends, we get to watch all kinds of things and watch MotoGP and watch a little of the actually, I kind of had the IMSA race series going on all weekend, you know, in the background at the house. And I watched a lot of the Michelin series race on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I had the race going today, too. And you see Connor Daly won, right?
Whoop, whoop. There you go, man.
Our friend Connor
Daly.
He's
going to get a good ride. He needs a solid ride, folks. Come on now.
You know, it's such an ongoing story that he doesn't have the permanent place, but yeah, he was.
Hopefully that'll do some good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I said, I feel like Connor's had some rough breaks. Going to the 500, not making it to the starting line on the warm up and being out, you know, that was a heartbreaker. Didn't get to see what he's capable of because he's quite talented. He's a fun personality to be around.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen him at the USGP and the IndyCar races. It's, he's a good guy. Somebody's got to latch onto him for his skill and his personality.
Yeah, and of course, if you didn't see it, IMSA was out at Laguna Seca at the new title sponsor, WeatherTech. Man, those guys have spent some bucks in
everything.
Have been, and yeah, yeah. All right, where are we at on time? We got a couple minutes left. There's a couple more stories I wanted to touch on. And, you know, one of the things, Les, we've been watching all year in Formula One is, you know, we talked about the different, all throughout the season, we talked about, you know, the midfield battles. And one of the stories from the midfield is how McLaren has moved their, not a Formula One story, actually, but they've moved their headquarters.
They are moving their manufacturing facility and they are landing in Texas.
Yeah, baby.
Just a piece or two up the road, but they are up in Northwest Dallas. And so that'll be a real interesting facility. I just got to believe that they're going to wind up coming back here and do something.
For Austin, for the USGP?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just got to imagine
think
you're
so.
Going to see more of a consumer level presence. And so, yeah, and so I just think that's going to be a big plus for Texas, for motorsports. Circuit of the Americas is the only fixed circuit in the United States right now for the Formula One. You just got to know McLaren's going to be here on a regular basis. They were just here last week for CenaFest, and there were a lot of those Cenas there and some of the P1s. It was really great. I tell you, I was hoping to see one of the F1s there, the streetcar F1, but never did.
I was I got a call from a buddy of mine who lives in Dallas. He goes, "You guys may have gotten Apple, but we got McLaren."
Yeah,
I'll
trade
you.
No kidding.
All right, well, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we are going to hear that interview with FIA Formula 3 driver Liam Lawson. Really, really fascinating interview. Stay tuned for that. Back after these messages.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Howdy, I'm Andrew Monaco, voice of the Texas A&M Aggies. All-American Dave Elmendorf and I are bringing a little bit of Kyle Field to Austin. Join us for the 12th Man Happy Hour on Monday, September 30th.
Enjoy an evening of cocktails, food, and Aggie football talk at Bob's Steak and Chop House. Dine on fried lobster, beef tenderloin, and more as Andrew and Dave break down all things Aggies past and present. It's the 12th Man Happy Hour. Ticket info at 12thmanhappyhour.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk 1370.
Hey, this is Garrett Gerloff. I ride the number 31 Yamaha Graves Yamaha, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are going to play an interview that we've been talking about with a gentleman who is Liam Lawson is his name, and he's in FIA Formula 3 is where he is. You know, he hasn't done a full season, by the way. But and you'll hear some of that, but just wanted to introduce him because he's a young and upcoming driver, and he has been he's had some great success already. Like early this year, he won the championship at the – or actually won the New Zealand Grand Prix. He didn't win the championship down there, but down there, you know, the Toyota Racing Series down there is where, you know, a lot of these young drivers go to hone their skills and get some seat time. But there's some really amazing drivers that have come through that have gone to Formula One, so it's a that's a big deal to win that. But he's had a great career so far. He's young, but I want to go ahead and play this now, and we'll comment afterwards because he's really fascinating. This was right after he was racing at Monza.
All right, I'm on the line with Liam Lawson, who is currently in the UK. And running around Europe and actually doing a pretty darn good job as a rookie in the FIA Formula 3 Championship. He's coming off a podium, second place this time at Monza. And Liam, welcome once again to Speed City and to Talk Sport, Talk Motorsport. Delighted for you. Tell me a little bit about the result.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's nice to be back. Yeah, I guess second place is a really good result. Really good points. It's good for the team and stuff like that. But I'll be honest, I did leave the track very disappointed with that race. It's sort of, yeah, we really struggled a lot of this year. And FIF3, this is, we really struggled with pace and the dry, especially. So that was a wet race. We started wet. And I kind of knew, we all knew that was one of the opportunities we were going to get this year to win a race. So, yeah, was pretty focused on that. And unfortunately, starting off the front row, the way everybody has their own way of doing the start. And unfortunately, the way our team does it didn't work for us. It works in the dry, but it didn't work in the rain. We basically had a terrible start, and I went back to fifth. And, you know, had really good pace, drove back through to second, nearly got to the lead. But unfortunately, by the end of the race, I'd been going so hard that I had no tyres left. And the track was drying out, so the especially the rears, because we're on wet tyres, the rears were just completely burnt out by the end. So no matter how close I got to the leader, basically every time we came out of slow corners or come out of a corner, I had no traction and just couldn't get close enough down the straight. So, yeah, finished second. So, yeah, in that sense, it was a little bit disappointing because we definitely had the pace to win that race. But it's still a very good result.
Let me ask you this. You got that benefit, so people who don't understand, it's basically a reverse grid for the second race of the weekend. So you got seventh, I believe, in race one, which puts you on the front row. Now, when you're racing, is that sort of part of the plan, is to try to look towards race two and getting that front row start?
For us, it is, yeah. And obviously for some of the front teams, no, but for us, that's something that we try and work towards because it really gives, you know, our only opportunity to get up the front seems to be in those reverse grid races normally anyway. But to be honest, on Monza, even in the dry, we had really good pace. Practice, we knew we were going to be fast going into quali. And I was on some really good laps, but unfortunately there was, I don't know if you saw, but there was some big traffic dramas where the front couple of cars would, because you have 30 cars out on track, and because Monza's a track there, everyone wants to get a slipstream. Everyone wants to follow, not directly behind, but have a gap to the car in front. But it can help, makes half a second a lap quite easily if you have a good enough toe. So everybody's trying to get in behind another car. And the front cars, some of the front teams, won't put any names, but we're playing a few games with everybody. And basically you know, backing everybody up. And I was coming, you know, I started my laps well behind the field just to get some clear laps. But every time I get to the end of the lap, there's 15, 20 cars just stopped, you know, doing 30 kilometers an hour, weaving along, trying to set up their laps because the front guys are always slowing up. So we kept getting compromised. Every lap that I would push on, I would get traffic. And then, you know, my best time was set on the first set of tires that we did. But it was like my sixth push lap because I had to wait for everybody to come in the pits before I could actually do a lap. And by then the tires were completely dead. So, you know, we went back out on another new set. Again, had really good pace, was on some good laps that would have put us, we think, in at least the top five, but kept getting traffic. And so that really put us back. And then there were some, really weird calls by the stewards they decided that everybody that slowed down should get a penalty. So we all got penalties for basically not crashing into the cars in front, which we thought was a bit stupid. And so I ended up getting a 5-place grid penalty for that and starting the race 14th. We actually had good pace and managed to come from 14th to 7th. For a lot of this year, we do spend, if we know our pace isn't great, we do spend the first race really trying to get to that reverse grid, to the top eight.
Well, let me ask you this, Liam, because obviously, as you saw in Formula One, it was a problem. It kind of ruined qualifying, and Monza is just such a great circuit and has been for many years. Everybody loves to see Monza, but they kind of ruined the whole qualifying session, and it sounds like yours was done the same. Well, I mean, what could be done that would avoid people literally trying to put people off and slowing down and effectively trying to put people off their qualifying laps?
Well, we've been asking for a lot of this year to split quali because with 30 cars, it's really, you know, and so, like, for example, Budapest, when you have 30 cars going around a track like that, it's really small. It makes it impossible because, you know, everybody's on their own run play. And when somebody's on a push lap, somebody else is on a cool down lap and slowing down, and it just becomes really, really difficult. But in Monza, exactly what happened in Formula One happened to us. Somehow the F1 guys only got a reprimand, but for some reason we all got massive penalties for it. So it was, it was a bit weird, you know. But basically, I think the way to fix it, it's basically caused by people just going unnecessarily slow. Because obviously you can slow down if you're on a cool down lap. You don't have to be pushing. You can just move out of the way for others coming through. But in this situation, we were doing at sometimes, you know, first gear. I was nearly stalling. We were going that slow. So basically, you know, we just can't slow down that much. But I think the thing that would fix it the most would be splitting qualifying because, with 30 cars, it becomes quite difficult.
Well, let me ask you this. What about the experience of Monza? I mean, I've been there for Formula One and many other different races, but it's a heck of a place to go to in the middle of a big city. The fans are crazy. It's tough to be there because it's busy. You've got a lot going on. And then, of course, the weekend itself was filled with highs and lows. How was the experience? Because, like I said, without putting too much of a point on it with Anton Hubert and, of course, a guy you've raced against in Juan Manuel Correa involved in that incident, how was that whole weekend for you?
Monza itself was one of my favorite weekends so far. The atmosphere is really, really cool. As you said, you've been there, so you would know what it's like. It is pretty special. You know, lots of Ferrari fans there. Unfortunately, I was gone by the afternoon race for Formula One, so I didn't get to see Leclerc win. But, you know, it's definitely a cool place. But still, you could feel, it's still... Yeah, it was only a week after the incident in Spa with Antoine Hubert, and you know, for me, that was a first weekend I've experienced something like that happen, and it was really quite scary to be a part of. Really, really sad news for something like to happen. But the last sort of 2 weeks, the last two race weekends we've had, in those 2 weeks, I've seen three of the biggest crashes I've ever seen in my life. Obviously, in the race. The Sunday race of Spa, my teammate got a puncture and went straight off at the fastest corner on the track and went underneath the tyre wall. The tyre wall, basically, he was going so quick that instead of the tyre wall stopping him, he just went directly underneath it and was trapped under there. And then obviously we had, Alex Pironi, and I was following him in that race. I was only two, three cars behind him. So he went over top of me, and I couldn't believe what I'd saw when I see this, you know, car flying over top of me. I can see him through the halo because he's directly upside down when I'm going underneath. I can see his, I can see him in the car, and that's something that's really scary. So, yeah, the last couple of weeks, been quite scary in that sense with the crashes that have happened. But it's obviously, yeah, extremely sad to see, yeah, Antoine Hubert lose his life.
You know, we as fans of the sport, I mean, it is exciting when cars come together and crash. I mean, we have to admit that. And we yeah. obviously always want everybody to be safe. But you could hear that in his voice, how scared he was when that was happening to him, where Pironi's car was literally flying over him and he was looking up through
Absolutely.
The halo.
Absolutely. I have never been in a situation of rolling a car or whatever, but I can just imagine the terrifying view that you're going to get when that, and there's another car above you as well. You know, it is, you're right. It is exciting. That's not necessarily the excitement we want to see. You know, I like more the rugby style of racing, and we're, you know, elbowing and shouldering yeah. each other to race and not doing anything near so drastic. But, you know, like I said earlier, I just have that one image from Top Gun of the
yeah.
The pilot giving directions, international relations.
yeah. yeah.
I just have that image in my head when he talked about looking up and seeing eye to eye.
Yeah. Well, I did have it in my notes. Liam Lawson, he just heard is just turned 17 this year, so he's really one to watch for sure. You know, and he's part of the Red Bull Junior program too, and so you know that's a have you done a lot of research on that? I was looking at that more today. You know, they do the race series they're in: Super Formula Japan, Euro Formula Open, Formula 4 Italy, IndyCar Series, ADAC Formula 4. And F3 Europe, F3 Asia, and they have a pretty impressive. I mean, you'll listen to the names: Lucas Auer, Jack Doohan, Johnny Edgar, Dennis Hager, Liam Lawson, Patricio Ward, Harry Thompson, Dan Ticktum. I mean, those are some names that we all know, and they're all young and up and coming drivers. So they've got that's an amazing stable that Red Bull Junior has put together. It's pretty cool.
Well. Now, here's what I have done, because every time we look at another series, every time we look at another, you know, top-level sport, global, Red Bull is there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in my typical ADD fashion,
squirrel,
I go off and was looking at some of the other things. And so here's some of what I found. Take a wild guess how many cans they sell a year of their energy drink.
Let's see. It must cost them $500 million to play in Formula One. I have no idea, actually.
Excuse me. 6,790 billion cans.
Wait, so trillions of cans?
Yeah.
I guess so. I guess, yeah. And, you know, I always joke about they're selling sugar, caffeinated sugar water for $4 a can. So yeah, that adds up fast. All right. Well, I'm looking at the clock. We got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to, we got a couple more F1 things and we got some other stuff we're going to talk about as well. Some things happening here in Austin. You're listening to Speed City live here in Austin, back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. Power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town. in your favorite store, or drop by the Tap Room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
I'm Jenny Gale from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Man, it is the fastest hour in radio. We only get about 12, 13 minutes left. I want to talk about something local that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the road conditions in Austin, Texas. And
this okay,
is
now probably... you just really slowed down matters if we're going to relate
Yeah. Well, I'm certain this is relevant to a lot of cities. I know Austin is, you guys know I'm a native and it's near and dear to my heart, but with the growth that we've had, being the fastest growing big city for like a decade, the roads, it's like a third world country in a lot of Austin. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, if you have a cool car in Austin, you just, I mean, I get people honking at me because I'm driving slow over the giant potholes in Austin. And I was watching the local NBC affiliate,
yep,
and a story came on about how much money they have been spending on a bicycle program. And I've noticed all these bicycle
lanes. Okay, now
lanes.
Wait a minute. You know I've been putting in the mileage on bicycles.
I know you've been putting on the mileage. And if you want to defend this, you're going to have a hard time.
Let's hear what you're going to say, because I may
so
not, actually.
They spent about $250 million on this program. That's the budget for it, right? And their goal was to get the 1% of commuters that ride a bike to increase. Well, in the... I think it's about 6 years they've been doing this. It spiked up to 1.1%, and then it dropped back down to 1%, so they've achieved nothing.
Brilliant!
Exactly. Brilliant. So they've achieved nothing except they've diverted $250 million away from fixing the roads into all these crazy bicycle lanes. So it's this hidden tax on all of us because... My suspension, I mean, I don't know about you, but it's
mine is lower than yours.
Yeah, it's like a constant battle replacing suspension parts here in Austin. So anyway, I'm certain this happens in other cities too, but...
No, you're right.
Texas,
baby. Austin, bicycle
Texas,
boy, what do you got? What do you
well,
got to
no,
say?
No. So I am not riding a bicycle as a commuter. I am, you know...
Exercise.
Shedding 40 pounds over it so far. So,
there you go, man. Congrats.
But it's... I appreciate it. It is... The bicycle environment in Austin can be quite contentious at times.
And yeah, absolutely. You're right.
And there are some, I mean, I've got a lot of respect for a 2-ton Miata that might take me out or anything else. And I'm riding the gear and the blinky lights and all that kind of thing. But I have traversed this city on, you know, most any Saturday, 20, 30 miles. To do it, and I will say there are ways to get through this town on bicycle safely and faster than you're going to get there on the bus.
Yeah, or a car.
Well, and there have been several times that I have seen the same car pass me up later on that I passed way back. you know, somewhere
on
the ride.
Oh, yeah. When I'm commuting in a car, I see guys on bikes. I'm going, they're going to beat me there, aren't they? And
quite often they
do. Yep.
And, you know, it is something else. There's still a lot of improvement to make it usable and reliable and safe. I mean, I'm making people mad because I'm riding on sidewalks a lot of times because the bicycle lane is really not wide enough and you see people swerving and, you know, I've seen police officers knock on car windows because the person's sitting there with the cell phone in their hand.
Mm.
And I've seen that happen in motion with the motorcycle cop reaching over and tapping on the window.
Tap on the window.
That goes on. So it scares me. Yeah, I use the sidewalk sometimes. I prefer my own bike lane. I prefer, you know, there's one right by your house. I rode by was, you know, the full car width plus a little bit wide.
Yeah.
I feel better there, but still not great. I don't know where all that money went, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some new bike lanes, I think. And also, you know I have. Actually, over here in Barton Hills, I've seen... Well, they put up all these concrete barriers. Yeah. And you know the crazy thing? They put up all these concrete barriers before they put any reflectors or anything around them.
Gee.
So you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden there's concrete barriers right in the middle of the road.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was literally before they moved the lanes. And I was like, what genius did this? Come on, at least paint them yellow or something before you put away the tools.
Well, there are some cycleways, and I'm talking about a 10 to 12-foot sidewalk dedicated to pedestrians and bicycles, non-motorized, not e-scooters, not e-bicycles or any of that.
Yeah.
But I have ridden long distances on this, going different directions in town. That works pretty well.
All right. Well,
I'm not
going
to commute there.
We're going to move back to motor racing, or at least some cool cars, because we're going to lose our audience when we're talking about bicycles and traffic in Austin. One thing I want to talk about, it's a cool car. I think it is. The new Porsche Taycan.
Oh, yeah. Well,
What do you think?
You know, if you've seen the commercial on the aircraft carrier and the launch and everything, you'll see our friend Shay Holbrook doing that. Did the 0 to 60 back to zero, and it was just fantastic how quick it went. Now, that was 2.8 seconds, 0 to 60. And they got something they call the Turbo.
0 to 62, actually.
Yeah.
That's 100 kilometers.
That's right. They have a model that they call the Turbo.
That is weird. That's crazy. Yeah, I agree.
I cry foul, just as I did a Dodge Charger being four doors. No, that's the Coronet.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah. Why an electric car is called a Turbo, I have no idea.
No, so great. Great car, very fast, good looking car, sporty, edgy looking as I would expect. And don't think of the Pan America when you think
the Pan
of
America.
This car.
Yeah, you know what?
The Pan America is not there. Yeah, I said Pan America. I've been reading historic racing stuff.
Oh,
get into that.
Yeah. It does, at a first glance, it does look like the Pan America, but it's better looking. It looks a little
very much
more 911 ish.
Yeah.
And then the front end, it's got a little. A more high-tech look to it. I don't like the wheels that they chose for the launch.
Well, the wheels are designed in such a way that the car is extremely aerodynamic. Now, that wheel may look familiar, but the slots that you see in that wheel, only every other one are actually open, and that is intended because they need a certain amount of air circulating in there. They are doing regen braking on this. The thing that is really impressive, even more so than we've seen on, you know, the Teslas and some of the other cars, is they are talking about the brake life span of these brake pads and brake components. You may never replace these components for hundreds of thousands of miles.
Yeah, you're doing all your braking with regen, right.
And so very different, very swift car. We'll have to ask Shay about that next time she joins us.
Dude, we need to get one and drive it. That's what we need to be doing is talking about.
Well, let's see. I'll be in L.A. next month. Let me see what we can do.
All right, just a couple more things on that. It's an 800 volt electric motor. I think the Teslas, I don't know. I know that 400
when do we get
is
to gigawatts.
Yeah, 1.21 gigawatts. Yeah, 800 volts. They can be charged from 5% to 80% in 22 minutes.
How is that? And that's going to, you know, to me, that makes this car viable for moving.
Well,
and traveling.
How do you do that? How do you do that? Is because that's going to take one of the,
it's the network,
the supercharger type style, yeah, you know, with major amperage and voltage. Probably not on your 110 outlet. You're probably not going
right
to do that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited to see what this is like because, you know, they always talk about the Teslas without a soul, right? It's the acceleration is mind-blowing, and it is. I've driven some, and it's just insane. But and they do handle good inherently with the low center of gravity, with all the batteries down low. I mean, I read an article in, what was it, Road and Track. They put on a track, especially for at least one lap, they do really, really well. This
right
is the Model 3 performance model. So anyway, this Porsche is going to be really interesting to follow. And so anyway, I did watch the entire launch. It came on at like 7 a.m. I think I watched it getting ready for the day and watched it live on the phone or anything, but it was kind of Apple-like watching that launch. But,
alrighty. Well, wait a minute. The one last thing, what's the barometer the world puts a car against?
Range?
Ring. The ring.
Oh, the ring. Oh, okay. I thought you meant electric
7
car.
7-minute, 42-second lap.
Huh. Okay, I don't know my ring numbers very well.
All right, so that's a C60R1. Those are kind of things in that area. Let me see if I can pull.
Let's
up
not forget
other.
This is a four-door sedan too.
Four-door sedan, electric. Yeah, a 997 Porsche GT3.
Huh. Okay.
So
that's pretty respectable.
Yeah, it's in great company to do that. So.
Yep.
Keep an eye out. Leave it to our friends at Porsche.
All right, one more thing here in Austin, and if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter where we are today, also you might see my shirt. I got my Skip Barber shirt on because I was many, many, many years ago a graduate of the 3-day racing school at Skip Barber, and I think about the things that I learned at Skip Barber almost every time I drive a car, and I get the 3-day school was a very intense school, which included classroom, and this was—I took it out at Willow Springs. Well, they have come to
Dusty
circuit
Willow.
Yeah, the big Willow. They've brought Skip Barber's now at Circuit of the Americas. They've been here for a little while this year, but we haven't really talked about it. But there, you can go to Skip Barber here in Austin, and I know that some people say, well, maybe this is not the same ownership as the original Skip Barber, but everything that I've read. And maybe we can get our hands on some.
Already got that.
Yeah, there we go. We'll talk to some of the guys at Skip Barber. And this is not a commercial for them. I mean, Skip, if you think back, for how long were you know, you'd look at a list of race drivers in Indy or wherever.
Oh, yeah.
And what, 20, 30% of them had graduated from Skip Barber Race School.
Yeah. It was something else. You know, back in the day, that was the one that was always in the Car and Driver and the Road and
yep
Track magazines and Grassroots. So that's where you found them.
Yeah, you know what made me finally decide to do Skip Barber? I was watching Seinfeld way back in the day, and on his refrigerator was a Skip Barber bumper sticker. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then about two months later, my wife bought me Skip Barber Racing School for Christmas.
Fantastic.
So that was my present.
There you go.
All right. Well, we are out of time. We appreciate everybody listening and watching. And make sure you tune in to our Formula One pre- and post-race shows. Go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to find out. They are national shows. And we have you can hear our pre- and post-shows and the race in between on the radio if you're in the car or wherever. And all sorts of good content up on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, our Facebook and our Twitter. We put up content all the time. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.